Isaiah has a lot to say to us this morning. A lot of powerful words. You want to hear a powerful word from Isaiah? Well, he will prepare us for life if we will listen to these words that he has to say, the words that Nan just shared with us. There is a woman by the name of Loriana Sprite who said, "Every great story happened when someone decided not to give up." Every great story happened when someone decided not to give up. You know, people who in life have the greatest impact are not the ones who have had the easiest road to walk, or the ones who never had failures in their life, but those who steel themselves with grit and determination in life. Those are the ones who leave an impact. The ones who face crowds of criticisms and who don't turn away from adversity. Those who faithfully bear with fortitude every day their daily cross. Those are the ones who have an impact, the greatest impact. Those are the ones who leave a beautiful legacy with their lives. Show me someone who's had a tough life and not given up and who has held on, and you'll show me someone who has left an impact on someone's life, who's left a beautiful legacy behind them along the way. So every great story happened when someone decided not to give up. Are you feeling like giving up today? There is a story that's yet to be told if you will just hang in there. There is a beautiful ending that's getting ready to be written, and it's the Lord has pen in hand. He's ready to write the good ending of your story if you'll just not give up. You know, on this Palm Sunday, we begin the last week of our Lenten journey. It's been 6 weeks. We began with Ash Wednesday. And we will end with our Lord dying on a cross this Friday, with our Lord in a cold grave over the weekend, and then we will come out of Lent with on the other side on Easter Sunday, next Sunday. And if you recall, in our journey of Lent these past number of weeks, we have been accompanied by a challenge each week to turn inward. That's been the theme that we have followed. And we spoke of repentance in turning inward. That repentance really is a turning away from the life that we are living and turning inward. And what we find when we turn inward is we find Christ. We find Christ who's been calling us. He's been calling us inward to deal with the stuff that's inside us, that's in our minds, that's in our hearts, that's in our souls, and that is clouded, that is dark, and that is sinful. And when we turn in and when we begin to deal with that, then we find that there's something else to do, and that is there's some reconciliation that needs to take place. Reconciliation means to come together again. And we find that we are scattered all over the place in our minds and in our life, and we're chasing things that are not healthy for us, and we go down this road, and it leads to all kinds of destruction and ugliness in our life, and we need to turn back. We need to come back together and get all those shattered pieces of our lives and find unity. And we find that in the Lord. There's one Lord, one baptism. And we find that in Jesus Christ. And finally, we emphasize the importance of silence. In the process, we talked about our minds, that they just go a mile a minute, and there are just thousands and thousands of thoughts that come to us each day, and they can almost be assaultive because they just never stop. And those thoughts that come to us often are not healthy for us, and they're thoughts of worry and anxiety and of despair and of defeat. And what happens is we entertain those thoughts and we begin to believe them, and we begin to create these videos in our head, and that creates a reality for us, and we live into that, and before we know it, we have become what we thought. And so we said we need, if we're going to find repentance and reconciliation in our life and find the Lord, we need to turn inward, and part of that process is getting quiet in our mind and in our heart, so that we can hear the voice of God speaking to us. Because the Lord is calling. Jesus always says, so when he's preaching, he says, those who have ears, let them hear. Well, we all have ears, but are they attuned to the Christ within calling us to the life that the Lord wants for us? But too often we're just ready to give up. We're ready to, whatever challenge we're facing, whatever sin we find ourselves in. And the thing about sin is it always takes you farther than you wanted to go. You wanted to get here and you thought, I'm willing to compromise myself this far, or I'm willing to make this decision and take this risk. But sin never takes you there. It always takes you that much farther into a destructive life. And you find yourself there and you're thinking, how can I ever recover from this? How can I ever overcome the obstacles that are in my way in life? And so we are too easy to want to give up and just throw in the towel. But there's a healing that takes place when we turn inward. Christ, we found last week, makes us anew. He takes this broken, worn out mind and heart that we're ready to just give up on, and the Lord says, no, let me have it, and I will make it anew. I am making a new thing, says the Lord. And we realize that Christ has been knocking on the door of our hearts. And he says to us, just open the door. If you'll just open the door, I will come in, and we'll begin the process of making you anew. And you will be able to overcome. You will be able to overcome the adversity that you're facing and the hardship and the challenges in your life. But just open the door, the Lord says. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door. And in repentance and faith, in trusting in Christ, we found that we take on the mind of Christ. The Lord's thoughts more and more become our thoughts rather than that barrage of assaultive thoughts that had control of us before. And we're made into his likeness. And then Christ becomes our prime example. Christ becomes this archetype of who we're to be, the model for our life. Now that all sounds sweet at first because we have this really sweet image of Jesus and all the wonderful things he did and the nice things that he did and the healing and those sort of things. But we also find Christ says this, and he says it in Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, you know the rest, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So this Christ who is calling us, he's calling us out of the darkness, he's calling us out of the sin of our lives, but yet when he calls us, he says, we got some work to do. We got some things to clean up. But here's what it's going to require. It's going to require that you die to yourself. And that every day you pick up this cross of self-denial. And you allow my thoughts to become your thoughts. And you allow my way to become your way. And over time your life will be transformed. Over time you will be changed. And it will affect everything in your life. It will reflect your relationship with your spouse, with your friends, with your children, with your parents, with your coworkers, with your students, with your teachers. Everything will be changed. But we have to, first of all, die to ourselves. And in the prophet Isaiah this morning, he describes this life that Christ wants us to live. He describes the life of the Christ archetype. He describes the one who denies himself and is obedient to the will of God. Here's what Isaiah says to us. He says, if you want to be like Christ, if you want to be his disciple, then be aware that the daily cross is part of your life. It's a life of suffering, but it's also a life of glory. When we take on Christ, we take on his glory, but it's always accompanied by the cross. And so Jesus tells his disciples, doesn't he? He says, be ready to suffer. In Acts 14:22, it says, though through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to be prepared. We have to steel ourselves with grit and determination if we're going to survive this life. If we're going to overcome the adversities and the challenges before us, we have to steel ourselves with grit and determination. And that power to do that is given to us through Christ. And that's what Isaiah is sharing with us today, that Christ will give you the power and the steel, the grit and the determination to overcome anything, but you have to be willing to die to yourself and allow Christ to become your power and your hope. We have to learn to put our big boy pants on, our big girl pants on. And that comes when we follow Christ. Isaiah describes this inner process of what it takes place when we learn to steel ourselves with grit and determination. And when you know it, the first thing he talks about is silence. That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. What's the first thing that Isaiah says, the one who steels himself with grit and determination to take on life? What does he do? He says, I listened. He says, morning after morning, I awakened and I listened. Is that part of your day? Or does the alarm go off and you're like, oh, good Lord, I'm late. Or I've got to do this, 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 and this, and this, and you're off to the races. But Isaiah says, each morning, I listen. I listen for the word of the Lord. The sovereign Lord, he says, has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. So he's got some good things to say for the day, but how does he learn what to say throughout his day? How does he learn to comport himself throughout the day? He says, the Lord wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. So not only does he listen, but he's obedient to the word of the Lord. So each day, this is a truth for each of us, each day, the Spirit of God pours into our souls with instruction. When you awaken in the morning, there are instructions for you for that day. There's a way that you're to comport yourself and carry yourself and speak and to interact with the people that you're going to come in contact with. And Isaiah says, I listen for that. I don't argue. I don't bargain with God. I don't rebel. I don't turn away from that daily nudging from the Christ within. He doesn't stand there and argue with the Lord. Like that little boy on the YouTube video with Linda, his mother. You've seen that one? But Linda, listen, Linda. Have you seen that? We do that with the Lord. But listen, Lord. I got these plans. Listen. Isaiah said, I don't bargain. I don't argue. I listen. And I react. Because God is not calling us, God's not calling us into a child's play. There's a world out there, and if you are to encounter it, you will face adversity and you will face challenges. There's some bad stuff that happens in the world. But if you carry with you this scandal known as the gospel, if you carry it on your lips, and it's a great offense to the world, if you carry this good news on your lips, Isaiah says you will bring scorn and rejection and possibly harm to yourself. What does he mean by that? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, for the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. If you try to live out Christ in the workplace, if you speak Christ in the workplace, you will look to those who are perishing, those who don't have ears to hear. You will look foolish. And when you speak truth to a power that's being unjust and wicked and evil, you will be judged and you will be ridiculed and you'll be scorned. The Christ who walked the way of sorrow up the hill to Golgotha and became the fool on the hill is not playing games. And so we should not play games. And so that's why next in Isaiah, verse 6 of that chapter, he says, "So I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from the mocking and the spitting." You see, Jesus' message is countercultural. The ones who think they're countercultural and doing all the weird, funky stuff, they're not the ones. We're the ones who are countercultural because we're speaking against the way of the culture. We're speaking against the way of domination and control and power and violence and hate. And when you do that, you are an offense to the world. And Isaiah says, get ready because here it comes. When's the last time someone beat you, even a verbal smackdown, because you chose the way of Christ instead of the way of the world? Only the beards of those who speak against power are plucked. When's the last time you were embarrassed for Christ's sake? I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I was in a friend's wedding, and I was invited to a bachelor party the night before the wedding, which is customary, right? And there were these guys, Christians in upbringing, good fellas, still count them as friends. And so I was surprised, though maybe I shouldn't have been, when late in the evening, the leader of the party there, the bachelor party, told everyone to get in the car, that he had a surprise for us. And when we pulled out of the hotel parking lot, I said, "Where are we going?" And he said, "We're going to a strip club." Oh, great, I thought. I've never been a wild and crazy guy. Never been a Steve Martin type. Well, I knew this was not the right thing to do, but I felt this intense pressure like I had never felt before. There's my buddies in the car. We're all heading to a strip club. And I began, not with any pious intention, but out of desperation, "Lord, help me out of this one." "What do you want me to do?" And the car stopped and the doors opened. The guy started getting out, and it was soon apparent that I was not moving. And the leader of the party looked at me. Talk about an awkward moment. And I said, "I think I'll stay in the car." It was the longest hour of my life waiting for those guys to come back out of that car or out of that club. But you know, to this day, I don't regret staying in that car. And it wasn't anything of me. It was the Lord who said, "You need to stay put, buddy." It wasn't that I was more pious or righteous than anyone else or had never done anything wrong. But I don't regret not going into that club and being part of the dehumanization of those ladies at that club that night. And even though today I'm sure when those guys still get together and I'm not present, I'm still the butt of the joke of that story and they have a good laugh, I'm glad I stayed in the car that night. That's okay, because Isaiah says in verse 7, "The sovereign Lord helps me and I will not be disgraced." Man, if you will listen to the Lord each morning, if you will get in the habit of each morning listening to the Lord and attuning your ears to what He has for you, and you're not rebellious and you'll won't turn your back on Him, He will lead you to places in life and He will say to you, "Here is where you are called to witness at this moment and this time. Here's where I want you to stand at this juncture. Here and now is where I need you to be a fool for me, just as I was a fool for you on that hill, dying for your sins, so that you might have eternal life and know what a full life is today." And Isaiah says, when the Lord calls you each morning, He calls you to deny yourself and to pick up your cross. "Therefore, I have set my face like flint." That's what it takes to face this world with all of its challenges and its temptations and its evil. Isaiah says, the Lord set his face like flint. As a child of the 70s, I keep thinking of Clint Eastwood or John Wayne. But it's more powerful and deeper than that. Are you willing to face the world with setting your face like flint? Then you're willing to have your beard plucked. You won't turn your back. I think of those fickle crowds in Jerusalem who cheered Jesus as he rode into the holy city, and only a few days later they were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And the Lord stood there with his face set like flint, and as the song says, he never said a mumbling word. And you think, why didn't Jesus say something? Why didn't he do something? Why did this innocent man, why didn't he defend himself? And you hear the words of Isaiah echoing, "It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up." Name one person who was in the crowd that day. They've all worn away. They're like moths who've been eaten up. Tell me the name of the Savior of the world who died on a cross for you. His name is Jesus Christ. And he had a face like flint when he was faced with ridicule and scorn and the rejection of the entire world. So this morning and the next day and the next, if you will listen, the Lord will call on you in the morning. And it will be a subtle knock upon your heart. And the Lord will be calling you to the task at hand for the day, for the cross that you're supposed to bear for that day. And you will resolve in your response like the prophet, "I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away." Maybe it's a difficult relative you're to contend with. Got any of those? Don't raise your hand. Maybe it's a difficult relative you have to contend with. Because in a family church, they might be here, you know, across the aisle. Maybe it's a nasty coworker. Maybe it's a dilemma at school that you're faced with, some peer pressure. Maybe it's an opportunity to serve as a witness of Christ, but that opportunity comes at great risk and may cause you to look foolish. Offer your back to those who beat you and your cheek to those who pull your beard. Set your face like flint and know that the sovereign Lord helps you and he will not put you to shame. Every great story happened when someone decided not to give up. On this Passion Sunday, take a really close look at the face of Jesus as he's riding in on that donkey in Jerusalem, not on the back of a mighty stallion of an emperor, but this embarrassing little donkey. But look at his face. Look at the face of Jesus as he stands before Pilate and before that crowd who's mocking him and scorning him, but before those soldiers who have stripped him down and are spitting on him and beating him. Look at his face. Look at his face as he walks the way of sorrow to the cross and the people are mocking him and laughing at him. You know, the greatest story ever told happened because the Son of Man was prepared for that moment. He listened each morning to the divine voice. He was obedient to the Father's call upon his life. He set his face like flint. Look at the face of Jesus, and you'll see a face of flint. Not turning away from difficulty because he knew that God was his help. And for this reason, and this is the good news and the bad news, depending on what you choose for the day, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us." Let's pray together. Father, this morning we pray to you, our Father, and to your Son, Son who set his face like flint in the face of adversity and was willing to become foolish for us that we might know salvation, that there might be goodness and truth and righteousness and love in the world and in our lives. Father, prepare us for our moment. For we will have a moment today and tomorrow and the next day when we are called to be a fool for Christ. May we be in the habit of listening to your still small voice. May we be in the habit of disciplining ourselves to not turn in rebellion, but to listen, that we may set our faces like flint in the face of the adversity, knowing that you will be glorified and you will be our salvation and our rescue. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.